Have you ever wanted to play the perfect tabletop game, where story beats run smoothly, and there's no awkward pauses between dice rolls? Yeah, me too. But since that's impossible, I did the next best thing, and novelized my Witcher tabletop game to showcase the story in its cleanest form. The result is this podcast. I'm Jacob Gerstel, and this is Tales from the Witcher. Part audiobook, part actual play, part serialized adventure, and a whole new way to vicariously enjoy tabletop games. Welcome to the world of The Witcher, where monsters roam freely and the continent is once again at war. If you were hoping to follow the plight of Geralt of Rivia, however, I'm not going to be doing that. Instead, I offer you the story of a not-so-merry band of degenerates who are making their way across the continent. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Honest End. 11. Letho of Gullet sat in the corner on an overturned bench, sharpening a dagger. He seemed focused on his work, but Zevo knew the Viper Witcher would be on him in an instant if he took one wrong step. They were in an abandoned scrivener's shop at the edge of a lander, run down even by outer city standards, and not looking like it housed anyone besides roaches and rats for a decade. Cracked inkpots sat on termite-ridden desks, and were filled with dust and whatever dark liquid survived the test of time. Yana and Silva and Zevo met the Viper Witchers here in the morning. When they arrived, Yana said her glamour spell worked best when she was doing it on one person at a time. She took Gas into the adjoining room, and Silva followed, saying it was a good learning opportunity. This left Zevo alone with Letho and his dagger. Letho wiped his nose with the back of his hand and said, without looking up, "So you're the Reaver of Riverdell," a title Zevo earned with his old Nilfgaardian Hansa 30 years ago. A little unwarranted, he always thought, but he couldn't help what he was called. "Aye," Zevo said after a moment, "and you're the Kingslayer." "I am," Letho said flatly. He looked up at Zevo, and he thought he saw the slightest trace of a smile on the Viper Witcher's face. "We should be proud of the names we earn, don't you think?"
"I think that depends on the amount of trouble the title brings," Zevo said. "I've lost more than one contract when people hear about the slaughter in Riverdell. I imagine your job prospects haven't improved much recently."
"There's no real jobs for witchers anymore," Letho said. "Killing neckers and drowners doesn't cut it."
"More lucrative to kill kings," Zevo said, and regretted it instantly. He imagined Letho leaping up and sinking his dagger into Zevo's neck, and he might have deserved it. He'd seen men killed for lesser jibes. But Letho simply chuckled.
"Most I've ever made on a contract. No shame in that. Is bodyguarding a craftsman so fulfilling that you'd look down on another witcher for doing what they could to eat?"
Zevo thought on the answer, probing every corner in hopes of finding some lofty response about the humble joy that can come from seeking out a job one was created to do, and to do it right. But all he found were darkened dead ends. "No," he admitted. Any other answer, and he'd be lying. Letho snorted and sheathed his dagger.
"No rest for our kind, brother. Best we can do is soldier on and hope for an honest end."
"I don't think that's... How do I look?" A handsome man, with brown skin and dark hair fashioned into a ponytail, stepped into the room. The glamour set off Zevo's medallion, but he could not see any chinks in the spell's armor. Gas of Lyria was completely transformed. "You look... normal," Zevo said.
"He looks unassuming, which is what we need," Yana said.
She motioned for Letho to stand up. "You're next. Come now, we don't have all day." Letho grunted and left the room. Zevo asked the disguised guests, "So what's the plan when we get to the inner city? Where will we find this Theo?" "In the keep, most like," guests said. "After that, I'm hoping to waltz in and lie our way into an audience with Theo, but we'll have to see. At worst, we can try and sneak in during the cover of night." "What makes you sure Theo will be in the keep at night?"
"He lives there, from the info Letho and I gathered."
"And how," Zevo said, "did you find that out?"
"The usual way. We've spent the last few months traveling across the north, gathering any information we can on the Wild Hunt summonings, and avoiding Nilfgaard, of course. Theo's our best lead now."
"Sounds like a good way to pass the time." You've got to fill your time somehow when work dries up. Letho came out, wearing his new disguise well. He now had a small face, a gangly body, and, most jarring, a mop of brown hair. Yana then performed the spell on herself, transforming into a woman with spectacles and a homespun dress. "Make me taller," Silver said to Yana when it was her turn. "I've always wanted to look down on more people."
"Can't do that, I'm afraid," Yana said. "I'm a sorceress, not a god. I suggest you make peace with your height."
"Fine," Silva said. Silva was the same height when she stepped out, but she looked different enough. Now it was Zevo's turn. He felt a tickling sensation all over his body as Yana glamored him up. She held up a mirror for Zevo to see himself, but he shook his head and left before looking. He had no interest in seeing how magic had changed him. Guess grinned at Zevo when he stepped out. "Any way to make that permanent on him, Yana? He's never looked better." Letho nodded.
"You look good without a mustache."
Silva tucked a lock of hair behind Zevo's ear. "And your hair is such bounce. I think this is your finest work, Yana." The bear witcher growled and stalked for the door.
"I get it. Let's go."
It was late morning by the time five strangers walked to the gates of the inner city. The guards asked them where they were going, and Yana dismissed them with a wave of her hand as she pushed past. The rest followed suit. The guards, likely bewitched by a spell, let them pass. It was not difficult to spot the keep. Its white-stoned exterior contrasted the browns that surrounded it. Yana's expression became graver the closer they got, and Zevo saw a thin sheen of sweat break out on the sorceress's brow. Silva adopted much the same expression.
"What is it?" Zevo asked.
He felt his witcher medallion hum against his chest as they approached the windowless keep. "Step back," Yana said. She reached a tentative hand to the stone wall, and Zevo saw the skin on her hand ripple as if made of water, then dissolve. Underneath was Yana's unglamored hand, smoother skin and all. She pulled back and put her hand in her dress pocket. "Fuck," she said.
"What is it?" Guess asked.
"An anti-magic spell over the keep,"
Letho answered. He looked up at the plateau, two stories above them, and scowled.
"A similar spell was cast in the city of Loch Mwyn. No magic will work in there."
"I've got a feeling Thea was casting it," Guess said.
"Must be a powerful sorcerer to do it by himself," Silva spat. "Our glamour will be ripped apart the moment we step inside." The sorceress sighed.
"Well, at least I got you three into the inner city. What's the plan now?"
"Sneak in, I suppose," Guess said after some time. "Best wait till nightfall."
"I'll check the surroundings," Letho said. "Find our best route."
Yana whistled.
"Well, I'm afraid it won't be of much use to you all in there. I agreed to help Zevo with this little escapade out of the kindness of my heart. And I'm afraid I'm not much for climbing."
"And we've that very important training you promised me, Yana," Silva said.
"Very important indeed. I'd be loath to miss it. I've been whinging about it all week."
"So she has," Yana said, trying to hide her smile. "And since we won't be of much use here, we should..."
"You can go," Zevo spat.
Silva laughed, and Yana said with a wave, "We'll be at the bulwark if you need anything. Come, my whinging apprentice." Zevo was glad to see the two of them go. Looking at Guess and Letho, he got the sense they did as well.
"Let's grab a drink," Zevo said.
The patrons of the nearest tavern were well-dressed, wearing expensive makeup and even more expensive smells. Zevo nearly gagged on the mixture of perfume and cologne when he stepped inside. The patrons, of course, glanced at the three newcomers, but either fear or genuine disinterest kept them from engaging with the disguised witchers. They took a seat in the corner, and Guess got the first round of drinks, 3 tankards of ale and 3 shots of vodka. He held up the vodka and said,
"Might as well enjoy ourselves while we wait, eh, boys?"
Zevo and Letho grunted, but raised their glasses and shot the vodka. Guest chased his shot with ale and gave a satisfied sigh. "I think sneaking into a magically fortified keep in a sieged city might be our most daring job yet."
"You must not have done many exciting jobs then, Guess," Zevo said. "I don't think this would crack my top 10.
Guess's glamored face adopted a look of annoyance. "I've done my share of exciting jobs. Not always the best paid, but seldom lacking in danger."
"Not with me around," Letho said, sipping his ale.
"Well, we've only been traveling together for 1/2 year, whereas I've wandered the path alone for well over 1 century now."
"As have I," Zevo said.
"And I," Letho added.
Guess snorted. Then a glint caught in his eye. "How about we bet on it? We each share our most dangerous jobs, and the losers buy the next 2 rounds of drinks. Who's to decide who has the best story? Zevo asked.
Honor system, Zevo. Here, I'll start.
Guess wiped beer foam from his lip with the back of his hand. I was in Toussaint 6 years ago, contracted by the Castel Torricella Vineyard to hunt a basilisk roaming their wine cellars. That damn duchy has a webwork of abandoned mining shafts running underneath it, so I wandered 3 days in the dark, finding no signs of a basilisk. What I did find was a shale mar, a blind mole the size of a bull and covered in rocky armored plating. Without warning, the bastard rolled into a ball and nearly crushed me. We danced around for a while before he rolled my way again. I jumped aside, just so we could hit a crumbling wall. The damned mine shaft started coming down on us, but the shale mar didn't care. I couldn't very well run, could I? Dodging fallen masonry and the shale mar's hooves and teeth, I ran him through the belly and cut off his head. Got out of there just before the tunnel collapsed. And to make a long tale short, I was stiffed on the pay because it wasn't a basilisk. Haven't been back to Toussaint since, and I'll never drink any wine from Castel Torricella. Zevo crossed his arms. Don't fancy you on that job, but I think mine's better. I was in Kedwin a decade ago, near the town of Laud. The alderman said there was a sea serpent in Loch Adrin. A nuctenna, over a dozen meters long, was living in the lake. I set out a poisonous deer carcass that seemed to do the trick, since it collapsed headfirst on the muddy bank. But just as I grabbed hold of the monster's slimy scales to cut off its head, the damned thing rises up and drags me underwater. My lungs were on fire as the Uctenna tried to shake me off its back. I barely held on and stabbed it a dozen times underneath its scales before it finally stilled and bobbed to the water. I, happy to say, was generously paid for that job. Guess gave a low whistle and grinned wolfishly. I remember you saying you were a strong swimmer, even in your armor, so that doesn't sound all that dangerous. Fuck you, Guess, Zevo said, and they both laughed. Then they turned to Letho with raised eyebrows, waiting for his tale.
Well, Letho said after some time, I don't think I could beat either of those stories, so I'll concede and buy the next 2 rounds.
The witchers drank and talked through the day. They had much they could chat on, it turned out. Though from differing schools, their plights were the same, bred for a single purpose quickly going out of style, and hated by nearly everyone because of it. But as the sun began to set and silence settled over them, Zevo felt compelled to ask, So what are you hoping to discover from this Theo? Whatever we can, Guest said. He's a sorcerer, if the rumors are true. He may know who's summoning the wild hunt, how they're doing it, and why. And if he doesn't?
Then we move on, Letho said. Same as always.
Hopefully he'll give the info willingly. Zevo wavered, then asked, Are you prepared to take care of Theo if he's too much trouble? It was a thorny subject to ask a witcher, especially Viper School witchers, and especially Letho of Gullet. So it was fitting Letho answered Zevo's question. He considered and said slowly,
Not if we can avoid it. What purpose would it serve?
No bigger plans or agendas then, Zevo grunted. Just gathering information on the wild hunt for information's sake. It's what our school's always done. Guess reached for his throat, and though it was hidden by glamour, Zevo knew he was fingering his viper head medallion. Who are we to change course now? The witchers finished their drinks and left the perfumed tavern. Fewer people populated the inner city's streets, including guard patrols. The viper witchers, trained to sneak and kill, took no chances and waited in the shadows until the coast was clear. The bear witcher, trained to armor up and kill, followed along as fast as he could, feeling uncharacteristically self-conscious about his lack of speed and silence. Letho had found a part of the keep's wall with decent footing near the back, and was the first to start climbing. Guest stood near the wall with Zevo and kept watch, ready to numb an unfortunate soldier's mind with the sign of Axie if they passed by on the street. Zevo watched the other corner, eye narrowed in concentration. It was unearthly quiet. Even the regular clang of patrolling soldiers on the parapet sounded far away. The streets were well lit with torches, but with no one walking them, it seemed a pathetic sight. A city that had given up and became a ghost town. Still, it was all the better when trying to sneak into a keep. You next, Bear, Guess said, and Zevo nearly flinched. Guess motioned to Letho silently disappearing over the parapet 2 stories up. Zevo nodded and gripped the jutting white stones that served as poor handholds. A wave of nausea rushed over him as he felt the anti-magic spell do its work. Zevo's unmarred left hand shimmered, replaced with a gnarled fist missing the index and middle finger.
Zevo stepped onto one of the holds and saw his fine shoes shimmer into road-worn boots. The glamour would disappear completely the moment he vaulted over the wall, so Zevo thought he'd best pick his spot carefully. It was slow work climbing the wall. He did not hear any noises from above, and hoped that meant there were few guards on the plateau, or that Letho had neutralized them quietly. Zevo cleared his head of thoughts and focused on the task in front of him, right hand gripping the next highest stone, followed by his left, then his left foot finding purchase on an outstretched stone below, followed by his right. Zevo took measured breaths and never looked down or behind. That would cost precious time, and the longer he dawdled, the better the chance he'd be seen. So he pressed on, and in this measured manner vaulted over the parapet and onto the stone plateau 2 stories up. Letho was crouched in the shadows of the smaller building on the plateau, looking like his old scarred self instead of the unassuming and soft dandy. Zevo looked down at his oiled armor and cloak and knew his disguise was all but dissolved. Nothing draws attention like 2 towering witchers, he thought, taking position next to Letho in the dark. There were no bodies, at least, so that was something. The back of the plateau, it seemed, was unlit by wall sconces. Zevo saw flickers of light around the corner, likely the front of the building, which was as windowless as the keep below. Letho gave a soft whistle that sounded like a nightingale's cry, then looked over the wall.
2 guards patrolled this area since I've been here. I don't know if their intervals are regular, so keep an eye out for me while I watch Guess's back.
Our signs won't work up here, Zevo said, watching Letho's back from the shadows. Axie won't save us. We'd have to silence anyone the old-fashioned way. Letho peered at the street below. He made a motion with his meaty fist.
Guess is a quick climber.
A deathly quiet hung over the empty plateau. Zevo looked up at the windowless building. He guessed it held the Duke's court, the most secure location in all of Valander. He had little time to ponder it, as Guess leapt over the wall and scurried into the shadows with Letho. The big Viper Witcher said,
"Might be a way in through from the roof. I'll go first."
The footholds in the stone were much less obvious to Zevo, so he marveled at how the Kingslayer stuck to the wall like ivy. He disappeared for a moment over the roof, then a length of rope tumbled from above. Guess gave it a quick tug, found it sturdy, and used it to climb. Zevo grabbed hold of the rope and prepared to follow, just as a guardsman rounded the building's corner and paused, mouth slack. He said. Without thinking, Zevo charged the guard. He winced every time his boots hit the ground, convinced it would ring across the courtyard and alert every guard in the area. The unfortunate guardsman regained his senses at the last moment and shook his head. He took a deep breath and put his index and middle fingers into the corners of his mouth. The Witcher reached the guardsman before he could whistle. Zevo grabbed the guard by his shoulders and slammed his back against the wall, then headbutted him. The guardsman's eyes rolled back, and Zevo gently lowered him to the floor, where he looked to be sleeping on the job.
"Nice job, Bear," Guess whispered halfway up the wall.
He pointed to the darkened corner they were hiding in.
"But drag him over there, will you?"
Zevo nodded, slung the unconscious guard over his shoulder, and gently lowered him into the shadows. Then he followed Guess's lead and climbed the rope, throwing himself onto the slate roof of the Duke of Valander's court, his hands gripping for purchase, hoping no eagle-eyed crossbowmen saw any of that from the parapets. Guess pulled the rope up and crawled past Zevo on all fours, like a lizard, stopping at a small window cut into the ceiling. He pulled one of the 2 daggers strapped to his chest and pried it against the window pane. With a few deft movements, the window opened with a click. Letho rolled next to Guess, and Zevo winced every time his armor scratched against the slate as he crawled over. All 3 witchers peered into the courtroom, over 6 yards below. Wall sconces illuminated the room at regular intervals, but there were still plenty of shadows to slip through. The court was empty, save for 4 guards standing near the front. 3 closed doors lined each wall. The window Guess chose was near the back of the court, by a large table on a raised platform. Zevo marveled at how effortlessly the Viper Witchers did all this, as if slinking was second nature to them. Guess pulled a dagger from his boots and sunk it between 2 slates. He tied 1 end of rope to the dagger's handle and gave it a light tug. The dagger shifted minutely, and a worried expression overcame his angular face.
"Try not to wriggle too much," he whispered, "unless you want to take a short fall. I'll go first."
Guess slithered down the rope and landed noiselessly on the ground. He disappeared into a pillar's shadow and motioned for the others to follow. Letho looked at Zevo and said,
"You might want to go first. I weigh more than you."
Zevo took the rope in his hands and started his descent. He did not fear the climb, but for a moment he saw himself tumbling, his armor clattering against the stone floor, cracking more than a few bones and alerting the guards. His oiled armor, thankfully, did not betray him as he raced to the bottom. He felt the rope give some, but it held long enough to get him to the ground. Zevo breathed a sigh of relief and slipped into the shadows. Letho was nearly as fast as Guess. He drew the large sword on his back when he reached to the ground and swung at the rope, severing it a few feet up. Letho caught the rope before it hit the floor. Several feet of rope still hung in the air, but Zevo figured there was only so much they could do. They'd have to leave the rest to chance. The three padded through the shadows to reach the western wall. Letho held a finger to his hand and pointed to the door nearest the back. Zevo wasn't sure what the Kingslayer was pointing at, then he saw it. The barest traces of candlelight trickling from underneath the door. Guess moved first, and, using his dagger, picked the door's lock silently and slid inside. Letho followed. Zevo cast one last glance at the four guards, then stepped inside the room and closed the door quietly behind him. A mousy man with strawberry blonde hair sat behind a desk, two candles illuminating his drawn face. He regarded the three witchers calmly. "Unless my eyes deceive me," he whispered, "you two are from the school of the Viper. And you," he squinted at Zevo's medallion, "are from the school of the Bear? Didn't know your schools got along." "Theo Valander," Guess said, taking a step forward. "That is I. Who do I have the pleasure of meeting?"
"It matters not," Letho said, flanking Theo.
Zevo stood near the door. Theo grinned. He made no sudden movements, only steepled his fingers. If he really was a sorcerer, then his power would be useless in the keep, unless he unwove the spell he cast first. But in that time, Letho and Guess would gut him. "I can guess who you are well enough. You've quite a distinct look, Kingslayer. Are you here to kill me?" "Depends on how you answer our questions," Guess said, resting his hands on the daggers strapped to his chest, regarding the wild hunt. "Ah." Theo leaned back in his chair. "Well, you certainly have me at a disadvantage. I can't really say no, can I?" "Ask away."
"You've been studying how to summon the wild hunt through magical rituals," Letho said. "Is this correct?"
"I have, but it should come as little surprise. I am a sorcerer, after all, and such things interest me." "How are these summonings done?" Guess asked. "Through a simple portal spell, amplified by a magic ritual," Theo said. "The wild hunt comes from another plane of reality. These rituals open up a doorway to their realm, but they never last long. That's why these recent wild hunt appearances are always so fleeting, even shorter than the natural softening of borders that comes during magical points of the year, like mid-eight."
"Can these portals be stabilized?" Letho asked.
Theo shrugged. "Of a theory that a great source of power is needed to stabilize the ritual and create a solid door between our realms. Perhaps if a powerful sorcerer performed it on a ley line, or during one of the cardinal points of the year. It's all unproven. All I know is the rituals used so far have been little more than tests. Bigger things are likely to come." The witchers were silent for a moment. Guess licked his lips. Who is trying to summon the wild hunt?" "Unclear," Theo said quickly. "Obviously a pact of magic users, though it's possible the king of the wild hunt is orchestrating it all." Zevo scoffed. "The wild hunt's a force of nature. Their actions never have a rhyme or reason. The riders appear randomly, steal a few people, then disappear. They have no king. He's a myth." "Perhaps they were a mindless force at one time," Theo said, quite animatedly. This conversation was clearly of interest to him. "But these are strange times. Magic's gaining strength in this world. Slowly, true, but surely. Many think Ithlin's prophecy will soon come to pass. I do not discredit such talk."
"Say you're right," Letho cut in. "Just who are the wild hunt?"
"They're humanoid, like you and I, and obviously intelligent," Theo said. "If we could ever see the riders without their helmets, we may find out. But alas, perhaps time will tell." Theo spread his hands out wide and nodded. "And that's all I know about the subject. Promise." "You've been quite forthcoming with all this information," Zevo said. "Makes me wonder why." "Why shouldn't I be forthcoming? If you witchers don't have a contract, there's no reason to kill me.
And witchers are famously neutral in all things save monster slaying, isn't that right? It's obvious the Viper Witchers want to gather research for their school. Who am I to deny them purpose? He turned back to Letho and Guess. Was I at least helpful? Guess nodded. Most helpful. And what about you, Bear Witcher? Theo asked. Is your purpose to kill me? Zevo shook his head. There's no glory or honor in assassinating a bookworm. Good enough for me. As a token of my goodwill, Theo said, standing up, I shall have the guards outside accompany me on an evening stroll around the plaza. Be careful on your way out, and gather any evidence you left behind. I have to keep up appearances if the guards catch you. I wish you luck on your quest, witchers. Letho grunted as Theo waltzed past. Zevo held his breath and watched the sorcerer beckon the guards away. For all he knew, Theo was telling the guards to capture them the moment they left the keep. He watched Guess and Letho sneak through the empty court, and hoped the information the Viper Witchers got was worth the risk they were taking. Personally, Zevo found the information interesting, but was unsure how useful it would be to him. But it just might be of use to Tabak and his circle of magic.
That'll do it for this episode of Tales from The Witcher. This podcast is written and produced by Jacob Gerstel. The Witcher novels are by Andrzej Sapkowski, The Witcher games are by CD Projekt Red, and The Witcher tabletop RPG is by R. Talsorian Games. The music is by Eric Matias at soundimage.org. Be sure to leave a rating and a review, and to spread the word of this podcast far and wide. You can follow the podcast at TalesWitcherPod on X, or at talesfromthewitcher.buzzsprout.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week.